ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayahs 4 to 10. We will look at a tafsir, an explanation. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina yunadunaka min wara'il hujurat. Indeed, those who call out to you, O Prophet, from behind the hujurat, or chambers, or dwelling, aktharuhum la yaqilun. Most of them do not use intellect. Here, hujurat is mentioned. It refers to the rooms or the chambers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for his family built next to the Masjid An-Nabawi, for the Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some were across the Masjid, some were attached to the Masjid. These hujurat were small living quarters. These were small areas where they resided. The Prophet ﷺ did not live in bungalows nor mansions. They were not even worthy of being called apartments, where there is separate space and area to cook, to eat, a separate place to sleep, and a separate place to sit and relax. There was no such thing. It was only one room and a small entrance place, which is called Hujurat. Atta Rasani has written that these hujurat were built by palms of date trees. Their doors were thick woolen curtains. Imam Bukhari has written from Dawood bin Qais, who said, I went to see these hujurat. I can say the arm's length of these quarters from the door to the room was 10 arms length, and the height to the ceiling was 7 to 8 arms length. These hujurat that were living quarters of the Prophet ﷺ and his wives, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, at the time of the rule of Khalifa Walid bin Abdul Malik, were made part of the masjid. At that time, they were torn down. At-Tabai Sa'id bin Musayyib said crying, I wish these hujurat were not torn down, so this Ummah could see what kind of a house their Prophet ﷺ lived in. The day these hujurat were torn down, there was so much sadness and grief in Medina. If they were still there, we could see the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and compare it to our homes. No matter how small a house or apartment anyone has to live in, it still cannot compare to the living quarters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives, with one room and an entranceway with a curtain as a door. It wasn't that they did not have big houses at that time. They had double-story houses and big grand homes as well. But these were the homes of the Prophet ﷺ and his wife. The Prophet ﷺ had given each of his 9 wives separate hujras. He did not keep them all in one house. They all had their privacy. This is something important to learn. The Prophet ﷺ did not keep his wives in one large room or even a house. Each of the wives had a separate living quarter, separate entranceway, and a door, no matter how small the living space it was. We learn the importance of privacy, and we learn the commands regarding privacy in Surah An-Nur. These were their living quarters or homes. Today, if anyone gets a small house or an apartment of 2 bedrooms, they have complaints about how small it is and wish for a big house. Where we see the most perfect person and the most noble and honorable person in all of mankind, what his home was like. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a big house, it's okay, alhamdulillah, as a house is a blessing of Allah. But a person should not complain about how small their house is. This ayah was revealed when the people of Banu Tamim had come to meet with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a big tribe, some of their people came a little later. It is mentioned that it was afternoon or at night. Anyhow, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had returned to his house. Those people who reached late, either in the afternoon or evening, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left to his house, as he would nap in the afternoon, because they were Bedouins and did not have any etiquettes, but knew that this specific section of the living quarters was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives. So they started calling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from outside, saying, "O Prophet, come out, come out. Ukhrij alayna ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come out to us. We have come." Because they didn't know which specific hujra he was in, and they were next to each other, so they spoke in such a loud voice so they could be heard from any of these hujras. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such a loving person. This was the time for his rest, as much of his night time was spent standing in worship of Allah. So much so that at times his feet would swell up from standing up so long in the prayer. Also, his day was spent in teaching to people, in helping people with their problems, and managing their affairs as a leader. He had so many responsibilities upon him. He was a leader, a judge, and a sincere advisor for people. If we look at ourselves, we get tired even with one task or job. Then he also gave time to his family. He would visit each of his wives during the day. Men think that having more than one wife would be fun, but the responsibility is increased manifold, and a man has to fulfill his obligations to all his wives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit each of his wives after Asr, and also would go to the masjid to take care of matters there, meeting with the incoming delegations and teaching deen to the people. So this afternoon time, when he went to rest, the people of the tribe started calling on to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and started speaking with them, but did not get angry with them or reprimand them. He did not utter a single word about this action of theirs. But Allah is watching. He revealed these ayahs about it. O Prophet, those who call you from behind the hujarat, they lack common sense and do not understand. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا, and if indeed they had been patient, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ, until you had come out, إِلَيْهِمْ, to them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, surely it would have been better for them. O Prophet, they have no understanding. If they had been patient and waited for you to come to them. إِلَيْهِمْ means comes to them, not that he comes out and it is only to meet with them. No, when he comes out and is ready to meet with them. If they had waited for that, it would have been better for them. But most of them do not have intellect or understanding. What does aqal mean? Tying. Whoever has aqal ties himself. One who lacks in intellect cannot tie themselves. Not tying oneself means they say whatever that comes in their mouth, whatever comes in their head, they do it. Whatever emotions they have, they take it out as such. So these people came, and instead of being patient, they started calling out to the Prophet. We learn about another tribe that came to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came off their riding animals, left them without tying them down, and they ran to see the Prophet, making noises that "we are here, we are here," while his chief, Al-Ashhaj Al-Asari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commended him and said that Allah likes two qualities in him. One was calmness, not rushing. Sadly, we are impatient as a society. If we have to do something, we want to do it right away. Calling, texting, right away, or go to the person's door looking for immediate resolve and answer. If we go to someone's house, we want to be served immediately so we can leave right away. Even boarding a plane, we push and shove to get in first, and then when it lands, even get more rushed to come out. We see collectively how impatient we are. And here we learned that if they had been patient, it would have been better for them. That means patience only brings khair or goodness. Sabr is equal to khair. Patience is the key to goodness. Whoever endures with patience, Allah follows after it with goodness. Here, we also learn the tolerance of the Prophet ﷺ, how he was patient upon their behavior and did not say anything himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayahs. Prophet ﷺ was shy and didn't reprimand them or even ask about their behavior. We learn from the time when Prophet ﷺ invited guests for his walima, when he got married with Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. People came to the walima, and even after it was over, they stayed there continuing on with their conversations. It became night, yet some people were still there. The Prophet ﷺ went out to deal with other affairs and returned, but they did not get up. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything to them in that regard. He had so much shyness, and even while he was getting disturbed, yet didn't say anything to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayahs about it. We also learn about people. They were Bedouins and not lettered or knowledgeable. So their behavior was such. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tolerated their behavior. We learn that we should treat and deal with people according to their background or their upbringing. Such as people who are villagers. One cannot expect manners from them or complain about the way they talk. They were brought up that way, so cannot expect anything other than that. So they will not be mannered or cultured as others, as their background is different. Therefore, cannot have ill feelings and think they do not have any manners or etiquettes. We must understand their situation and the background they were brought up with. Some people speak in slang, therefore must realize this is how they were brought up. Whether a person who is from the village or not very educated, we must be understanding, because the way certain people are is because of the way they were brought up. So these Bedouins, when the companions would be sitting in their company, the companions would be happy for their coming because the companions were abstained from questioning the Prophet. The Bedouins did not know and would put forth questions to the Prophet. So the companions would learn from the questions of these Bedouins. As in one case, a Bedouin asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Would we get grapes in Jannah?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "You will get grapes in Jannah." We see how people are different, and they have different questions accordingly. So we cannot make fun of anyone or criticize them. They called out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his name, saying, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So Allah forbade it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, "Don't you have manners?" or "How are you speaking?" The Prophet was very lenient with people. We also learn about the personality of the Prophet and how easily accessible he was for the people. He was unlike the leaders of today, who are very difficult to find or nearly impossible for normal people to reach or have access to. But not for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever wanted to meet with him could. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person who is an amir of his people, an appointed leader, is a servant of his people. This is very important. Not someone who is hidden, that even if someone wants to meet with them, cannot. He should be easily accessible to the people, because he is appointed to take care of those under him. We also learn how much balance there was in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also see how to overlook. We have an opportunity to deal with an uncultured person, even if not as a leader or being in charge of anything, have to expect people of all kinds. When deal with the general population, we'll have an opportunity to meet with all types of people. Then, in that situation, have to learn to overlook, if especially in a leadership or a lead role. If we keep on minding what people say, then we will not be able to accomplish any task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ghafurur rahim, and Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. If we look back at Ayah 2, the two notable companions are being indicated. Their voices became a little raised, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Do not raise your voices, lest your deeds get wasted. Here it says, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Who was more at fault, the companions or the Bedouins? It was the Bedouins, as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu were just talking and a dispute arose among them. While the Bedouins, their misdeed was bigger, as they were calling out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a loud voice. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is Ghafoorur Rahim. What is the difference? We learn that the higher the status of the person, the more the expectations are from them. The Bedouins had recently accepted Islam and did not learn any etiquettes. Therefore, the type of people they are, that is their dealing. The more pious, educated, and respectable someone is, they will carry a higher expectation. For example, students who are older students in an institution will have a higher expectation than someone who is a new student. If an older student makes a certain mistake, it will be considered bigger and more serious, while if a new student makes a similar mistake, it will not be considered as serious. So if the Bedouins were treated harshly and told that all their deeds were wasted, they would run away. Therefore, they were given ease and told it's okay if they made a mistake, but should not do it again, and Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah will forgive them. Next we learn, when a certain news comes to us, we are taught how to deal with the news in the next ayah. We are living in an era of information, but how do we take that information? First, we will look at the background of this ayah, so the message is easy to understand. Walid bin Uqba, who was a maternal cousin of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had recently accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him towards the tribe of Banu Mustalik to collect zakah, as people were appointed to collect zakah from the tribes that had accepted Islam. Banu Mustalik was a tribe of Javeria radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he left, he became late. So at the time, people from the tribe also left, as they had been awaiting for someone to come to them to collect their zakah. So at that time, whenever people left, they would leave with their weapons. So when Walid saw them coming, as there was enmity between them from the time of Jahiliyyah, when he saw them coming from afar, thought that they had come to fight and would kill him. He became fearful and turned back. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him that they were coming with their weapons and were prepared to fight. So the younger companions became inflamed and were ready to fight with them. Meanwhile, the Banu Mustalik arrived and came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, O Prophet, what happened? You were to send a man to collect zakah, and no one came. So we are here with our zakah. He asked, did they do anything wrong and to be forgiven? Then the matter was clarified. Here we learn the possible impacts of misinformation, as sometimes if someone overhears others talking about someone, they start to think it is about them that they are talking about, and they get upset and angry, while they are innocent and probably talking about someone or something else. When a person doesn't verify, then misunderstandings happen. So here again, we see a command for the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقُ If comes to you a fasiq, who is a fasiq? A person who is a sinner and disobedient, one who crosses the limits, who forwards any matter that they hear about. بِنَبَأٍ With any news, فَتَبَيَّنُوا Then verify, investigate, to ascertain the truth. Not as soon as we hear anything, start taking action about it. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ Lest you harm a people because of ignorance. It shouldn't happen that you take any sort of action against a people or attack them out of ignorance or lack of complete information. تُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ So you become upon what you did once remorseful. So you regret later on because of the action you took. Therefore, before taking any action, it is important to get complete information. Inquire and verify if the news is even true. A person cannot become upset and angry at every hearsay. There is great advice in this for all of us. Because today, we constantly get bombarded with information and news and all sorts of things. We do not need to inquire further about every information we hear about. Naba is news relating to the person personally. It is about the person and affects the person directly or indirectly. When a certain person brings forth certain news or information, someone who we do not completely trust, at that time we must get more information. Because when information is not verified, then what happens? The person takes action, which leads to animosities. A person may end up doing something that becomes a source of embarrassment and brings regret and remorse. We learn that today there is so much information sharing in the social media sites. Many times people learn about something and start doing it. It could be about matters of deen. For example, get told to read something an X amount of time, and then this will happen. The information goes as far as saying that can have people forgiven, or this or that will happen. We do not verify and start doing what is said and start forwarding to other people, while they should verify if the said matter is a hadith or not, or if someone just made it up themselves, or what was the source of the said matter. People do not verify but consider it a fard to forward such texts. If we do not know if the matter is correct or not, then we should not forward it. First verify the sources. It may be that who started the message may be a fasiq and a liar. Many people are doers of evil and start fake news. They put together pictures of here and there and make it into something big. And they have made fake videos using effects to amplify the matter. There are many fasiq people who do these things and they do not even leave deen. It was discovered that even the websites people used to check the information was fake. Lying has become commonplace. Majority of the information sent viral is untrue. Because this has become easy to do, all types of wrongful people have used it to promote wrongful agendas and spread evil. They spice up the news and intensify it. We have to be very careful. We learn so much from the so-called news of and information going viral that is fake. While the news and media outlets on the TV, there is some sort of censoring that watches what they spread. while on the internet, people are spreading whatever they want without any censure. We never know who made the specific news or information, what was the source of the news, and where they got the information, but just keeps getting forwarded, and we become part of the scam when we forward to others. While here it is mentioned, they are fasiq. Who does that? A believer doesn't spread false news, so verify news of a fasiq. We cannot verify who made up these news, such as pictures saying this is the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother, or this is the place from where Isa ascended the heavens, or these are the places of Hujarat of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where would they even get these pictures, as pictures were not taken when they were alive, or even until the Hujarat were torn down? Such lying that people do not know who to trust and who not to trust. We cannot spread such false information. The Prophet ﷺ said that it is enough for a person to be considered a liar when he forwards hearsay. There is no regard to verify or check its validity. Who is sending that information? No one knows anything, therefore cannot spread these type of information, so that you feel regret later on. A person becomes a fasiq for spreading false news. This is how rumors begin and relations are broken, when false news are spread. When two people are talking and someone overhears and tells the person they were talking such things about you. For a person who gossips, punishment of grave is mentioned. When matters are not verified and the person takes action, then fights with the concerning parties happen. So one should not forward any gossip or information until it is verified or clarified. This is why the Shia, because of the ayah, say companions can be fasiq, astaghfirullah, and consider only the five of the companions to be the truthful ones. Bilal, Salman al-Farsi, Abbas, Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. They say it is mentioned here, and only consider them truthful and say others are fasiq. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that Allah is pleased with the companions and commended them, they disregard the next ayah. They go on and dare to say that they will not even accept the Ahad hadith. This hadith is in which there is only one Ravi or narrator. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verify. Then it was verified, and then those ahadith were accepted. When the chain was linked back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was verified. Therefore, no one can say ahadith are not correct just because only one companion narrated it, thinking they could be fasiq. Before daring to say such evil things about the companions, they should know the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, do not say bad about my companions, because if anyone other than them spends even gold equaling to the size of the mountain of Uhud, it will not equal even to the one mud spent by my companions. One mud is equal to one fistful. Even their spending in charity amount equaling to the fistful cannot compare to any other person spending equaling the mountains of Uhud. Then how could we dare to say anything bad about the companions? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that Allah has preferred my companions over the rest of the world, and even among the companions have preferred for the Khulafa ar-Rashidun. Then how can anyone dare to say bad about them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fear Allah concerning my companions. Do not make them a target of taunt after me, saying such things that they had a battle between each other, or they did this or that. No, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loved them did it out of love for me, and whoever has hatred, that had hatred because of me. And whoever hurts them will be as they hurt me. And whoever hurts me hurts Allah. And whoever hurts Allah it is near that Allah will grasp them with the torment.